It is a love game. I done lived grandma's way. Now I means to live mine. What you mean by that, Janie? She was born in slavery time when folks, that is black folks, didn't sit down any time they felt like it. So sitting on porches like the white madam looked like a mighty fine thing to her. That's what she wanted for me. Don't care what it costs. Get up on her high chair and sit there. She didn't have time to think what to do after you got up on the stool or do nothing. The object was to get there. So I got up on the high stool like she told me. But Phoebe, I done nearly languished to death up there. I felt like the world was crying extra, and I ain't read the common news yet. Maybe so, Janie. Still and all, I'd love to experience it for just 1 year. Looked like heaven to me from where I'm at. I reckon so. But anyhow, Janie, you be careful about this selling out and going off with strange men. Look what happened to Annie Tyler. Took what little she had and went off to Tampa with that boy they call Hooflung. It's something to think about. It sure is. Still, I ain't Miss Tyler, and T-Cake ain't no Hooflung. And he ain't no stranger to me. We's just as good as mad already. But I ain't put it in the street, I'm telling you. I just like a chicken. Chicken drink water, but he don't pee-pee. Oh, I know you don't talk. We ain't shamefaced. We just ain't ready to make no big kaflamakas yet. You're doing right not to talk it. But Janie, you's taking a mighty big chance. 'Tain't so big a chance as it seem like, Phoebe. I'm older than T-Cake, yes, but he done showed me where it's the thought that makes the difference in ages. If people thinks the same, they can make it all right. So in the beginning, new thoughts had to be thought and new words said. After I got used to that, we gets along just fine. He done taught me the maiden language all over. Wait till you see the new blue satin Tea Cake done picked out for me to stand up with him in. High heel slippers, necklace, earrings, everything he wants to see me in. Some of these mornings, and it won't be long, you're gonna wake up calling me and I'll be gone. Jacksonville. Tea Cake's letter had said Jacksonville. He had worked in the railroad shops up there before, and his old boss had promised him a job come next payday. No need for Janie to wait any longer. Wear the new blue dress because he meant to marry her right from the train. Hurry up and come because he was about to turn into pure sugar thinking about her. Come on, baby. Papa Tea Cake never could be mad with you. Janie's train left too early in the day for the town to witness much, but the few who saw her leave bore plenty witness. They had to give it to her. She sure looked good, but she had no business to do it. It was hard to love a woman that always made you feel so wishful. The train beat on itself and danced on the shiny steel rails mile after mile. Every now and then, the engineer would play on his whistle for the people in the towns he passed by. And the train shuffled onto Jacksonville and to a whole lot of things she wanted to see and to know. And there was Tea Cake in the big old station in a new blue suit and straw hat, hauling her off to a preacher's house first thing. Then right onto the room he had been sleeping in for 2 weeks all by himself, waiting for her to come. And such another hugging and kissing and carrying on you never saw. It made her so glad she was scared of herself. They stayed at home and rested that night, but the next night they went to a show, and after that they rode around on the trolley cars and sort of looked things over for themselves. Tea Cake was spending and doing out of his own pocket, so Janie never told him about the $200 she had pinned inside her shirt next to her skin. Phoebe had insisted that she bring it along and keep it secret just to be on the safe side. She had $10 over her fare in a pocketbook. Let Tea Cake think that was all she had. Things might not turn out like she thought. Every minute since she had stepped off the train, she had been laughing at Phoebe's advice. She meant to tell Tea Cake the joke sometime when she was sure she wouldn't hurt his feelings. So it came around that she had been married a week and sent Phoebe a card with a picture on it. That morning, Tea Cake got up earlier than Janie did. She felt sleepy and told him to get some fish to fry for breakfast. By the time he had gone and come back, she would have finished her nap out. He told her he would, and she turned over and went back to sleep. She woke up, and Tea Cake still wasn't there, and the clock said it was getting late. So she got up and washed her face and hands. Perhaps he was down in the kitchen, fixing around to let her sleep. Janie went down, and the landlady made her drink some coffee with her because she said her husband was dead and it was bad to be having your morning coffee by yourself.
"Your husband going to work this morning, Miss Woods? I seen him go out a good while ago. Me and you can be company for one another, can't us?"
"Oh, yes, indeed, Miss Samuels. You puts me in the mind of my friend back in Edenville. Yeah, he was nice and friendly, just like her." Therefore, Janie drank her coffee and sankled on back to her room without asking her landlady anything. Tea Cake must be hunting all over the city for that fish. She kept that thought in front of her in order not to think too much. When she heard the 12 o'clock whistle, she decided to get up and dress. That was when she found out her $200 was gone. There was the little cloth purse with a safety pin on the chair beneath her clothes, and the money just wasn't nowhere in the room. She knew from the beginning that the money wasn't any place she knew of if it wasn't in that little pocketbook pinned to her pink silk vest. But the exercise of searching the room kept her busy, and that was good for her to keep moving, even though she wasn't doing anything but turning around in her tracks. But don't care how firm your determination is, you can't keep turning around in one place like a horse grinding sugar cane. So Janie took to sitting over the room, sit and look. The room inside looked like a mouth of an alligator, gaped wide open to swallow something down. Outside the window, Jacksonville looked like it needed a fence around it to keep it from running out on Ether's bosom. It was too big to be warm, let alone to need somebody like her. All day and night, she worried time like a bone. Way late in the morning, the thought of Annie Tyler and Hooflung came to pay her a visit. Annie Tyler, who at 52 had been left a widow with a good home and insurance money. Mrs. Tyler, with her dyed hair newly straightened and her uncomfortable new false teeth, her leathery skin blotchy with powder, and her giggle. Her love affairs with boys in their late teens or early 20s, for all of whom she spent her money on suits of clothes, shoes, watches, and things like that, and how they all left her as soon as their wants were satisfied. Then when a ready cash was gone, had come Hooflung to denounce his predecessor as a scoundrel and took up around the house himself. It was he who persuaded her to sell her house and come to Tampa with him. The town had seen her limp off. The undersized, high-heeled slippers were punishing her tired feet that looked like bunions all over. Her body squeezed and crowded into a tight corset that shoved her middle up under her chin. But she had gone off laughing and sure as Janie had been. Then 2 weeks later, the porter and conductor of the northbound local had helped her off the train at Maitland. Hair all gray and black and bluish and reddish in streaks. All the capers that cheap dye could cut was showing in her hair. those slippers bent and griped, just like her work-worn feet. The corset gone, and the shaking old woman hanging all over herself. Everything that you could see was hanging. Her chin hung from her ears and rippled down her neck like drapes. Her hanging bosom and stomach and buttocks and legs that draped down over her ankles. She groaned, but never giggled. She was broken, and her pride was gone. So she told those who asked what had happened. Who flung had taken her to a shabby room in a shabby house in a shabby street and promised to marry her next day. They stayed in the room 2 whole days when she woke up to find who flung and her money gone. She got up to stir around and see if she could find him and found herself too worn out to do much. All she found out was that she was too old a vessel for new wine. The next day, hunger had driven her out to shift. She had stood on the streets and smiled and smiled and then smiled and begged and then just begged. After a week of world bruising, a young man from home had come along and seen her. She couldn't tell him how it was. She just told him she got off the train and somebody had stolen her purse. Naturally, he had believed her and taken her home with him to give her time to rest up a day or two. Then he had bought her a ticket for home. They put her to bed and sent for her married daughter for up around Ocala to come see about her. The daughter came as soon as she could and took Annie Tyler away to die in peace. She had waited all her life for something, and it had killed her when it found her. The thing made itself into pictures and hung around Janie's bedside all night long. Anyhow, she wasn't going back to Eatonville to be laughed at and pitied. She had $10 in her pocket and $1,200 in the bank. But, oh, God, don't let Tea Cake be off somewhere hurt and I not know nothing about it. And, God, please, sir, don't let him love nobody else but me. Maybe I'm as a fool, I'd like to say. But, Lord, I've been so lonesome and I've been waiting, Jesus. I done waited a long time. Janie dozed off to sleep, but she woke up in time to see the sun sending up spies ahead of him to mark out the road through the dark. He peeped over the door sill of the world and made a little foolishness with Red, but pretty soon he laid all that aside and went about his business dressed all in white. But it was always going to be dark to Janie if Tea Cake didn't soon come back. She got out of the bed, but a chair couldn't hold her. She dwindled down on the floor with her head in a rocking chair. After a while, there was somebody playing a guitar outside her door. Played right smart while. It sounded lovely, too. But it was sad to hear it feeling blue, like Janie was. Then whoever it was started to singing, "Ring the bells of mercy, call the sinner man home." Her heart all but smothered her. "Tea Cake, is that you?" "You know so well as me, Janie. How come you don't open the door?" But he never waited. He walked on in with a guitar and a grin. Guitar hanging around his neck with a red silk cord and a grin hanging from his ears. "Don't need to ask me where I've been all this time, 'cause it's my all-day job to tell you."
"Tea Cake, I..."
"Good Lord, Janie, what you doing sitting on the floor?" He took her head in his hands and eased himself into the chair. She still didn't say anything. He sat stroking her head and looking down into her face. "I see what it is. You doubted me about the money. Thought I had done took it and gone. I don't blame you. but it wasn't like you think. The girl baby ain't born and her mama is dead that can get me to spend our money on her. I told you before that you got the keys to the kingdom. You can depend on that. Still and all, you went off and left me all day and all night. 'Twasn't 'cause I wanted to stay off like that, and the show Lord wasn't no woman. If you didn't have the power to hold me and hold me tight, I wouldn't be calling you Miss Woods. I met plenty of women before I knowed you to talk to. You's the onlyest woman in the world I ever even mentioned getting married to. You being older don't make no difference. Don't never consider that no more. If I ever gets to messing around another woman, it won't be on account of her age. It'd be because she got me in the same way you got me, so I can't help myself. He sat down on the floor beside her and kissed and playfully turned up the corner of her mouth until she smiled. "Look here, folks," he announced to an imaginary audience. "Sister Woods is about to quit her husband." Janie laughed at that and let herself lean on him. Then she announced to the same audience, "Miss Woods got herself a new little boy rooster, and he's been off somewhere and won't tell her." "First thing, though, us got to eat together, Janie. Then we can talk." "One thing, I won't send you out after no fish." He pinched her in the side and ignored what she said. "'Tain't no need of neither one of us working this morning. Call Miss Samuels and let her fix whatever you want."
"Tea cake, if you don't hurry up and tell me, I'll take and beat your head flat as a dime."
Tea cake stuck out till he had some breakfast. Then he talked and acted out the story. He spied the money while he was tying his tie. He took it up and looked at it out of curiosity and put it in his pocket to count it while he was out to find some fish to fry. When he found out how much it was, he was excited and felt like letting folks know who he was. Before he found the fish market, he met a fella he used to work with at the roundhouse. One word brought on another one, and pretty soon he made up his mind to spend some of it. He never had had his hand on so much money before in his life, so he made up his mind to see how it felt to be a millionaire. They went on out to Callahan, round the railroad shops, and he decided to give a big chicken and macaroni supper that night, free to all. He bought up the stuff, and he found somebody to pick the guitar so they all could dance some. So they sent a message all around for people to come, and come they did. A big table loaded down with fried chicken and biscuits, and a wash tub full of macaroni with plenty of cheese in it. When the fella began to pick the box, the people began to come from east, west, north, and Australia, and he stood in the door and paid all the ugly women $2 not to come in. One big Marani-colored woman was so ugly till it was worth $5 for her not to come in, so he gave it to her. They had a big time till one man come in who thought he was bad. He tried to pull and haul over all the chickens and pick out the livers and gizzards to eat. Nobody else couldn't pacify him, so they called Tea Cake to come see if he could stop him. So Tea Cake walked up and asked him, "Say, what's the matter with you nohow? I don't want nobody handing me nothing, especially don't issue me no rations. I always chooses my rations." He kept right on plowing through the pile of chicken, so TK got mad. "You got more nerve than a brass monkey. Tell me, what post office did you ever pee in, I craves to know?" "What you mean by that now?" the fella asked. "I mean this. It takes just as much nerve to cut caper like that in a United States government post office as it do to come pulling and hauling over any chicken I'll pay for. Hit the ground. Damn if I ain't gonna try you this night." So they all went outside to see if Tea Cake could handle the boogaboo. Tea Cake knocked out two of his teeth, so that man went on off from there. Then two men tried to pick a fight with one another, so Tea Cake said they had to kiss and make up. They didn't want to do it. They'd rather go to jail. But everybody else liked the idea, so they made them do it. Afterwards, both of them spit and gagged and wiped their mouths with the back of their hand. One went outside and chewed a little grass like a sick dog, he said, to keep it from killing him. Then everybody began to holler at the music because the man couldn't play but three pieces. So Tea Cake took the guitar and played himself. He was glad of the chance because he hadn't had his hand on a box since he put his in the pawn shop to get some money to hire a car for Janie soon after he met her. He missed his music. So that put him in the notion he ought to have one. He bought the guitar on the spot and paid $15 cash. It was really worth $65 any day. Just before day, the party wore out. So Tea Cake hurried on back to his new wife. He had done found out how rich people feel, and he had a fine guitar and $12 left in his pocket, and all he needed now was a great big old hug and kiss from Janie.
You must have thought your wife was powerful ugly. Them ugly women that you paid $2 not to come in could get to the dough. You never even allowed me to get that close, she pouted.
Janie, I would have give Jacksonville with Tampa for a jump back for you to be there with me. I started to come get you 2-3 times.
Well, how come you didn't come get me?
Janie, would you have come if I did?
Sure I would. I like fun just as good as you do.
Janie, I wanted to mighty much, but I was scared. Too scared I might lose you.
Why?
Them wasn't no high muckety mucks. Them was railroad hands and the women folks. You ain't used to folks like that, and I was scared you might get all mad and quit me for taking you amongst them. But I wanted you with me just the same. Before us got married, I made up my mind not to let you see no commonness in me. When I get mad habits on, I'd go off and keep it out of your sight. Tain't my notion to drag you down with me.
Look here, Tea Cake. If you ever go off from me and have a good time like that and then come back here telling me how nice I is, I expects to kill you dead. You hear me?
So you aims to partake with everything, huh?
Yeah, Tea Cake. Don't care what it is.
That's all I wants to know. From now on, use my wife and my woman and everything else in the world I needs.
I hope so.
And, honey, don't you worry about your little old $200. It's big payday this coming Saturday at the railroad yards. I'm going to take this $12 in my pocket and win it all back and more.
How?
Honey, since you loose me and give me privilege to tell you all about myself, I tell you. You done married one of the best gamblers God ever made. Cards or dice, either one. I can take a shoestring and win a tan yard. Wish you could see me rolling. But this time, it's going to be nothing but tough men talking all kinds of talk, so it ain't no place for you to be. But it won't be long before you see me. All the rest of the week, Tea Cake was busy practicing up on his dice. He would flip them on the bare floor, on the rug, and on the bed. He'd squat and throw, sit in a chair and throw, and stand and throw. It was very exciting to Janie, who had never touched dice in her life. Then he'd take his deck of cards and shuffle and cut, and deal out, then examine each hand carefully and do it again. So Saturday came. He went out and bought a new switchblade knife and 2 decks of Starback playing cards that morning and left Janie around noon. They'll start to paying off pretty soon now. I wants to get in the game whilst the big money's in it. I ain't for no spudding today, or I'll come back on a stretcher. He cut 9 hairs out of the mole of her head for luck and went off happy. Janie waited till midnight without worrying, but after that she began to be afraid, so she got up and sat around scared and miserable, thinking and fearing all sorts of dangers, wondering at herself, as she had many times this week, that she was not shocked at Tea Cake's gambling. It was part of him, so it was all right. She rather found herself angry at imaginary people who might try to criticize. Let the old hypocrites learn to mind their own business and leave other folks alone. Tea Cake wasn't doing a bit more harm trying to win himself a little money than they was always doing with their lying tongues. Tea Cake had more good nature under his toenails than they had in their so-called Christian hearts. She better not hear none of them old backbiters talking about her husband. Please, Jesus, don't let them nasty niggas hurt her, boy. If they do, Master Jesus, grant her a good gun and a chance to shoot them. Tea Cake had a knife, it was true, but that was only to protect himself. God knows Tea Cake wouldn't harm a fly. Daylight was creeping around the cracks of the world when Janie heard a feeble rap on the door. She sprang to the door and flung it wide. Tea Cake was out there, looking like he was asleep standing up. In some strange way, it was frightening. Janie caught his arm to arouse him, and he stumbled into the room and fell.
Tea Cake! You, child! What's the matter, honey?
They cut me, that's all. Don't cry. Get me out of this coat quick as you can. He told her he wasn't cut but twice, but she had to have him naked so she could look him all over and fix him up to a certain extent. He told her not to call a doctor unless he got much worse. It was mostly loss of blood, anyhow. I won the money, just like I told you. Around midnight, I had your $200 and was ready to quit, even though it was a heap more money in the game, but they wanted a chance to win it back, so I sat back down to play some more. I knowed old Double Ugly was about broke and wanted to fight about it, so I sat back down to give him his chance to get back his money and then to give him a quick trip to hell if he tried to pull that razor I glimpsed in his pocket. Honey, no up-to-date man don't fool with no razor. The man with his switchblade, we be done cut you to death while you fooling with a razor. But Double Ugly brags he's too fast with it to get hurt. But I knowed better. So, around about 4 o'clock, I done cleaned them out, complete. All except 2 men that got up and left while they had money for groceries and 1 man that was lucky. Then I rose to bid them goodbye again. None of them didn't like it, but they all realized it was fair. I had done give them a fair chance. All but Double Ugly. He claimed I switched the dice. I shoved the money down deep in my pocket and picked up my hat and coat with my left hand and kept my right hand on my knife. I didn't care what he said, long as he didn't try to do nothing. I got my hat on and 1 arm in my coat as I got to the door. Right there he jumped at me as I turned to see the door step outside and cut me twice in the back. Baby, I run my other arm in my coat sleeve and grabbed that nigga by his necktie before he could bat his eye, and then I was all over him just like gravy over rice. He lost his razor trying to get loose from me. He was hollering for me to turn him loose. But, baby, I turned him every way but loose. I left him on the doorstep and got here to you the quickest way I could. I know I ain't cut too deep because he was too scared to run up on me close enough. Sort of pulled the flesh together with sticking plaster. I'll be all right in a day or so. Janie was painting on iodine and crying. You ain't the one to be crying, Janie. It's his old lady ought to do that. You done give me luck. Look in my left-hand pants pocket and see what your daddy brought you. When I tell you I'm going to bring it, I don't lie. They counted it together. $322. It was almost like Tea Cake had held up the paymaster. He made her take the 200 and put it back in the secret place. Then Janie told him about the other money she had in the bank. Put that 200 back with the rest, Janie. My dice. I don't need no assistant to help me feed my woman. From now on, you're going to eat whatever my money can buy you and wear the same. When I ain't got nothing, you don't get nothing. That's all right with me. He was getting drowsy, but he pinched her leg playfully because he was glad she took things the way he wanted her to. Listen, Mama, as soon as I get over this little cut and scrape, we're going to do something crazy.
What's that?
We going on the muck.
What's the muck? And where is it at?
Oh, down in the Everglades round Clewiston and Bell Glade, where they raise all that cane and string beans and tomatoes. Folks don't do nothing down there but make money and fun and foolishness. They must go there. He drifted off into sleep, and Janie looked down on him and felt a self-crushing love. So her soul crawled out from its hiding place. To Janie's strange eyes, everything in the Everglades was big and new. Big Lake Okeechobee, big beans, big cane, big weeds, big everything. Weeds that did well to grow waist high up the state were 8 and often 10 feet tall down there. Ground so rich that everything went wild. Volunteer cane just taking the place. Dirt roads so rich and black that a half mile of it would have fertilized a Kansas wheat field. Wild cane on either side of the road, hiding the rest of the world. People wild, too. Season don't open up till the last of September, but we had to get here ahead of time to get us a room, T-Cake explained. 2 weeks from now, it'll be so many folks down here, they won't be looking for rooms. They'll be just looking for somewhere to sleep. Now we got a chance to get a room at the hotel where they got a bathtub. You can't live on the muck without you take a bath every day. Dude, that muck'll itch you like ants. Tain't but one place round here with a bathtub. Tain't nowhere near enough rooms.
What we gonna do round here?
All day I'm picking beans. All night I'm picking my box and rolling dice. Between the beans and the dice, I can't lose. I'm going right now to pick me up a job of work with the best man on the muck before the rest of them gets here. You can always get jobs down here in the season, but not with the right folks.
When does the job open up, Tea Cake? Everybody around here looks like they're waiting, too.
That's right. The big men have a certain time to open up the season just like in everything else. My boss man didn't get sufficient seed. He's out hunting up a few more bushels. Then we's going to plant 'em.
Bushels?
Yeah, bushels. This ain't no game for pennies. Poor man ain't got no business at the show. The very next day, he burst into the room in high excitement. Boss done bought out another man and want me down on the lake. He got houses for the first ones to get there. Let's go. They rattled 9 miles in a borrowed car to the quarters that squatted so close that only the dike separated them from the great, sprawling Okeechobee. Janie fussed round the shack making a home while Tea Cake planted beans. After hours, they fished. Every now and then, they'd run across a party of Indians in their long, narrow dugouts, calmly winning their living in the trackless ways of the glades. Finally, the beans were in. Nothing much to do but wait to pick 'em. Tea Cake picked his box a great deal for Janie, but he still didn't have enough to do. No need of gambling yet. The people who were pouring in were broke. They didn't come bringing money. They were coming to make some. Tell you what, Janie, let's buy us some shooting tools and go hunting around here.
That would be fine, Tea Cake, except, you know, I can't shoot. But I'd love to go with you.
Oh, you needs to learn how. Tain't no need of you not knowing how to handle shooting tools. Even if you didn't ever find no game, it's always some trashy rascal that needs a good killing. He laughed. Let's go into Palm Beach and spend some of our money. Every day they were practicing. Tea Cake made her shoot at little things just to give her good aim. Pistol and shotgun and rifle. It got so the others stood around and watched them. Some of the men would beg for a shot at the target themselves. It was the most exciting thing on the muck, better than the juke and the pool room, unless some special band was playing for a dance. And the thing that got everybody was the way Janie caught on. She got to the place. She could shoot a hawk out of a pine tree and not tear him up. Shoot his head off. She got to be a better shot than Tea Cake. They'd go out any late afternoon and come back loaded down with game. One night, they got a boat and went out hunting alligators, shining their phosphorescent eyes and shooting them in the dark. They could sell the hides and teeth in Palm Beach, besides having fun together till work got pressing. Day by day now, the hordes of workers poured in. Some came limping in with their shoes and sore feet from walking. It's hard trying to follow your shoe instead of your shoe following you. They came in wagons from way up in Georgia, and they came in truckloads from east, west, north, and south. Permanent transients with no attachments, and tired-looking men with their families and dogs and flivvers. All night, all day, hurrying to pick beans. Skillets, beds, patched-up spare inner tubes, all hanging and dangling from the ancient cars on the outside, and hopeful humanity herded and hovered on the inside, chugging onto the muck. People ugly from ignorance and broken from being poor. All night now, the jukes clanged and clamored, pianos living three lifetimes in one, blues made and used right on the spot, dancing, fighting, singing, crying, laughing, winning and losing love every hour, work all day for money, fight all night for love, the rich black earth clinging to bodies and biting the skin like ants. Finally, no more sleeping places. Men made big fires, and 50 or 60 men slept around each fire, but they had to pay the man whose land they slept on. He ran the fire just like his boarding place for pay, but nobody cared. They made good money, even to the children, so they spent good money. Next month and next year were other times. No need to mix them up with the present. TK's house was a magnet, the unauthorized center of the job. The way he would sit in the doorway and play his guitar made people stop and listen, and maybe disappoint the juke for that night. He was always laughing and full of fun, too. He kept everybody laughing in the bean field. Janie stayed home and boiled big pots of black-eyed peas and rice. Sometimes baked big pans of navy beans with plenty of sugar and hunks of bacon laying on top. That was something Tea Cake loved. So no matter if Janie had fixed beans two or three times during the week, they had baked beans again on Sunday. She always had some kind of dessert, too, as Tea Cake said it gave a man something to taper off on. Sometimes she'd straighten out the two-room house and take the rifle and have fried rabbit for supper when Tea Cake got home. She didn't leave him itching and scratching in his work clothes, either. The kettle of hot water was already waiting when he got in. Then Tea Cake took to popping into the kitchen door at odd hours, between breakfast and dinner sometimes. Then often around 2 o'clock he'd come home and tease and wrestle with her for a half an hour and slip on back to work. So one day she asked him about it. "Tea Cake, what you doing back in the quarters when everybody else is still working?" "Come to see about you. The booker man liable to tote you off whilst I'm gone. 'Tain't no booker man got me to study about. Maybe you think I ain't treating you right and you watching me." No, Janie, I know better than that. But since you got that in your head, I'll have to tell you the real truth so you can know. Janie, I gets lonesome out there all day without you. After this, you better come get a job or work out there like the rest of the women so I won't be losing time coming home. TK, you's a mess. Can't do without me that little time. Damn little time is near about all day. So the very next morning, Janie got ready to pick beans along with Tea Cake. There was a suppressed murmur when she picked up a basket and went to work. She was already getting to be a special case on the muck. It was generally assumed that she thought herself too good to work like the rest of the women, and that Tea Cake pumped her up to that. But all day long, the romping and playing they carried on behind the boss's back made her popular right away. It got the whole field to playing off and on. Then Tea Cake would help get supper afterwards. "You don't think I'm trying to get out of taking care of you, do you, Janie? 'Cause I asked you to work alongside of me?" Tea Cake asked her at the end of her first week in the field.
Oh, no, honey. I likes it. It's more nicer than sitting around these quarters all day. Clerking in that store was hard. But here, we ain't got nothing to do but our work and come home and love.
The house was full of people every night. That is, all around the doorstep was full. Some were there to hear Tea Cake pick the box. Some came to talk and tell stories. But most of them came to get into whatever game was going on or might go on. Sometimes Tea Cake lost heavily, for there were several good gambles on the lake. Sometimes he won and made Janie proud of his skill. But outside of the two jukes, everything on that job went on around those two. Sometimes Janie would think of the old days in the big white house and the store and laugh to herself. What if Eatonville could see her now in her blue denim overalls and heavy shoes, the crowd of people around her and a dice game on her floor? She was sorry for her friends back there and scornful of the others. The men held big arguments here like they used to do on the store porch. Only here she could listen and laugh and even talk some herself if she wanted to. She got so she could tell big stories herself from listening to the rest. Because she loved to hear it, and the men loved to hear themselves, they would woof and boogaboo around the games to the limit. No matter how rough it was, people seldom got mad because everything was done for a laugh. Everybody loved to hear Ed Dockery, Bootney, and Sop the Bottom in the skin game. Ed Dockery was dealing one night, and he looked over at Sop the Bottom's card, and he could tell Sop thought he was going to win. He hollered, "I'll break up that seven eggs." Sop looked and said, "Root the peg." Bootney asked, "What are you going to do? Do, do." Everybody was watching that next card fall. Ed got ready to turn. "I'm going to sweep out hell and burn up the broom." He slammed down another dollar. "Don't overexpose yourself, Ed," Bootney challenged. "You're getting too yellow." Ed caught hold of the corner of the card. Sop dropped a dollar. "I'm going to shoot in the hearse. Don't care how sad the funeral be." Ed said, "You see how this man is teasing hell." Tea Cake nudged Sop not to bet. "You're going to get caught in a bullet storm if you don't watch out," Sop said. "Oh, tain't nothing to that bear but his curly hair. I can look through muddy water and see dry land." Ed turned off the card and hollered, "Zachariah, I said come down out that sycamore tree. You can't do no business." Nobody fell on that card. Everybody was scared of the next one. Ed looked around and saw Gabe standing behind his chair and hollered, "Move over me, Gabe. You're too black. You draw heat. Sop, you want to pick up that bet while you got a chance?" "No, man. I wish I had 1,000 leg to put on it." "So you won't listen, huh? Dumb niggas in free schools. I'm going to take and teach you. I'll mainline, but I won't sidetrack." Ed flipped the next card, and Sop fell and lost. Everybody hollered and laughed. Ed laughed and said, "Get off the muck. You ain't nothing, that's all. Hot boiling water won't help you none." Ed kept on laughing because he had been so scared before. "Sop, Bootney, all y'all to let me win your money. I'm sending it straight off to Sears and Roebuck and buy me some clothes. And when I turn out Christmas Day, it will take a doctor to tell me how near I is dressed to death." Janie learned what it felt like to be jealous. A little chunky girl took to picking a play out of Tea Cake in the fields and in the quarters. If he said anything at all, she'd take the opposite side and hit him or shove him and run away to make him chase her. Janie knew what she was up to, luring him away from the crowd. It kept up for 2 or 3 weeks, with Nunky getting bolder all the time. She'd hit Tea Cake playfully, and the minute he so much as tapped her with his finger, she'd fall against him or fall on the ground and have to be picked up. She'd be almost helpless. It took a great deal of handling to set her on her feet again. And another thing, Tea Cake didn't seem to be able to fend her off as promptly as Janie thought he ought to. She began to be snappish a little. A little seed of fear was growing into a tree. Maybe someday Tea Cake would weaken. Maybe he had already given secret encouragement, and this was Nunky's way of bragging about it. Other people began to notice, too, and that put Janie Moore on a wonder. One day, they were working near where the beans ended and the sugar cane began. Janie had marched off a little from Tea Cake's side with another woman for a chat. When she glanced around, Tea Cake was gone. Nunky, too. She knew because she looked. "Where's Tea Cake?" she asked Slop the Bottom. He waved his hand towards the cane field and hurried away. Janie never thought at all. She just acted on feelings. She rushed into the cane, and about the fifth row down, she found Tea Cake and Nunky struggling. She was on them before either knew. "What's the matter here?" Janie asked in a cold rage. They sprang apart. "Nothing," Tea Cake told her, standing shamefaced. "Well, what you doing in here? How come you ain't out there with the rest?" "She grabbed my working tickets out of my shirt pocket, and I run to get 'em back," Tea Cake explained, showing the tickets, considerably mauled about in the struggle. Janie made a move to seize Nunky, but the girl fled, so she took out behind her over the humped-up cane rows. But Nunky did not mean to be caught, so Janie went on home. The sight of the fields and the other happy people was too much for her that day. She walked slowly and thoughtfully to the quarters. It wasn't long before Tea Cake found her there and tried to talk. She cut him short with a blow, and they fought from one room to the other. Janie trying to beat him, and Tea Cake kept holding her wrists and wherever he could to keep her from going too far. "I believe you've been messing around her," she panted furiously. "No such a thing," Tea Cake retorted. "I believe you did. Don't care how big a lie get told, somebody can believe it." They fought on. "You done hurt my heart. Now you come with a lie to bruise my ears. Turn go my hands." Janie seethed, but Tea Cake never let go. They wrestled on until they were doped with their own fumes and emanations, till their clothes had been torn away, till he hurled her to the floor and held her there, melting her resistance with the heat of his body, doing things with their bodies to express the inexpressible. Kissed her until she arched her body to meet him, and they fell asleep in sweet exhaustion. The next morning, Janie asked, like a woman, "You still love old Nunky?" "No, never did, and you know it, too. I didn't want her." "Yeah, you did." She didn't say this because she believed it. She wanted to hear his denial. She had to crow over the fallen Nunky. "What would I do with that little chunk of woman with you around? She ain't good for nothing except to sit up in the corner by the kitchen stove and break wood over her head." "Use something to make a man forget to get old and forget to die." The season closed, and people went away like they had come, in droves. Tea Cake and Janie had decided to stay, since they wanted to make another season on the muck. There was nothing to do after they had gathered several bushels of dried beans to save over and sell to the planters in the fall. So Janie began to look around and see people and things she hadn't noticed during the season. For instance, during the summer, when she heard the subtle but compelling rhythms of the Bahamian drummers, she'd walk over and watch the dances. She did not laugh the saws to scorn, as she had heard the people doing in the season. She got to like it a lot, and she and Tea Cake were on hand every night till the others teased them about it. Janie came to know Mrs. Turner now. She had seen her several times during the season, but neither ever spoke. Now they got to be visiting friends. Mrs. Turner was a milky sort of a woman that belonged to childbed. Her shoulders rounded a little, and she must have been conscious of her pelvis because she kept it stuck out in front of her so she could always see it. Tea Cake made a lot of fun about Mrs. Turner's shape behind her back. He claimed that she had been shaped up by a cow kicking her from behind. She was an ironing board with things thrown at it. Then that same cow took and stepped in her mouth when she was a baby and left it wide and flat with her chin and nose almost meeting. But Mrs. Turner's shape and features were entirely approved by Mrs. Turner. Her nose was slightly pointed, and she was proud. Her thin lips were an ever delight to her eyes. Even her buttocks in bas-relief were a source of pride. To her way of thinking, all these things set her aside from Negroes. That was why she sought out Janie to friend with. Janie's coffee and cream complexion and her luxurious hair made Mrs. Turner forgive her for wearing overalls like the other women who worked in the fields. She didn't forgive her for marrying a man as dark as Tea Cake, but she felt that she could remedy that. That was what her brother was born for. She seldom stayed long when she found Tea Cake at home, but when she happened to drop in and catch Janie alone, she'd spend hours chatting away. Her disfavorite subject was Negroes. Miss Woods, I have often said to my husband, I don't see how a lady like Miss Woods can stand all them common niggers around her place all the time. They don't worry me at all, Miss Turner. Fact about the thing is, they tickles me with their talk. I mean, you got more nerve than me. When somebody talked my husband into coming down here to open up a eating place, I never dreamt so many different kinds of black folks could collect in one place. Did, I never would have come. I ain't used to associating with black folks. My son claims they draws lightning. They laughed a little, and after many of these talks, Mrs. Turner said, "Your husband must have had plenty of money when y'all got married." "What make you think that, Miss Turner? To get hold of a woman like you, you got more nerve than me. I just couldn't see myself married to no black man. Too many black folks already. We ought to lighten up the race." "No, my husband didn't have nothing but himself. He's easy to love if you mess around him. I loves him." "Why, you, Miss Woods, I don't believe it. You just sort of hypnotized, that's all." "No, it's real. I couldn't stand it if he was to quit me. Don't know what I'd do. He can take most any little thing and make summertime out of it when times is dull. Then we lives off of that happiness he made till some more happiness come along." "Well, you're different from me. I can't stand black niggas. I don't blame the white folks from hating them, because I can't stand them myself. Another thing, I hates to see folks like me and you mixed up with them. Us ought to class off. Us can't do it. We's a mango people, and all us got black kin folks as well as yaller kin folks. How come you're so against black? And it makes me tired. Always laughing. They laugh too much and they laugh too loud. Always singing old nigger songs. Always cutting the monkey for white folks. If it wasn't for so many black folks, it wouldn't be no race problem. The white folks would take us in with them. The black ones is holding us back." "You reckon?" "'Course, I never thought about it too much, but I don't figure they're even going to want us for company. We's too poor." "'Tain't the poorness. It's the color and the features. Who want any little old black baby laying up in the baby buggy looking like a fly in buttermilk? Who wants to be mixed up with a rusty black man and a black woman going down the street in all them loud colors and whooping and hollering and laughing over nothing? I don't know. Don't bring me no nigger doctor to hang over my sick bed. I done had 6 children. Wasn't lucky enough to raise but that one, and ain't never had a nigger to even feel my pulse. White doctor always gets my money. I don't go in no nigger store to buy nothing, neither. Colored folks don't know nothing about no business. Deliver me." Mrs. Turner was almost screaming in fanatical earnestness by now. Janie was dumb and bewildered before, and she clucked sympathetically and wished she knew what to say. It was so evident that Mrs. Turner took black folk as a personal affront to herself. Look at me. I ain't got no flat nose and liver lips. I'm a featured woman. I got white folks' features in my face. Still and all, I got to be lumped in with all the rest. It ain't fair. Even if they don't take us in with the whites, they ought to make us a class to ourselves. It don't worry me at all, but I reckon I ain't got no real head for thinking. You ought to meet my brother. He's real smart. Got dead straight hair. They made him a delegate to the Sunday school convention, and he read a paper on Booker T. Washington and tore him to pieces. Booker T.? He was a great big man, wasn't he? Supposed to be. All he ever done was cut the monkey for white folks, so they pumped him up. But you know what the old folks say. The higher the monkey climbs, the more he shows his behind. So that's the way it was with Booker T. My brother hit him every time they give him a chance to speak. I was raised on the notion that he was a great big man, was all that Janie knew to say. He didn't do nothing but hold us back, talking about work, when the race ain't never done nothing else. He was an enemy to us, that's what. He was a white folks nigger. According to all Janie had been taught, this was sacrilege, so she sat without speaking at all. But Mrs. Turner went on. I done sent for my brother to come down and spend a while with us. He's sort of out of work now. I want you to meet him more special. You and him would make up a swell couple if you wasn't already married. He's a fine carpenter when he can get anything to do. Yeah, maybe so, but I's married now, so 'tain't no use in considering. Mrs. Turner finally rose to go after being very firm about several other viewpoints of either herself, her son, or her brother. She begged Janie to drop in on her any time, but never once mentioning tea cake. Finally, she was gone, and Janie hurried to a kitchen to put on supper and found tea cake sitting in there with his head between his hands. Tea cake, I didn't know you was home. I know you didn't. I've been here a long time, listening to that heifer run me down to the dogs and try to tow you off from me. So that what she was up to? I didn't know. Of course she is. She got some no-count brothers she wants you to hook up with and take care of, I reckon. Shucks, if that's her notion, she's barking up the wrong tree. My hands is full already. Thank you, ma'am. I hate that woman like poison. Keep her from around this house. Her look like a white woman with that merino skin and hair just as close to her head as 99 is to 100. Since she hate black folks, so she don't need our money in her old eating place. I'll pass the word along. We can go to that white man's place and get good treatment. Her and that whittle-down husband of hers. And that son, he's just a dirty trick her womb played on her. I'm telling her husband to keep her home. I don't want her around this house. One day, Tea Cake met Turner and his son on the street. He was a vanishing-looking kind of a man, as if there used to be parts about him that stuck out individually, but now he hadn't a thing about him that wasn't dwindled and blurred. Just like he had been sandpapered down to a long oval mass. TK felt sorry for him without knowing why, so he didn't blurt out the insults he had intended, but he couldn't hold in everything. They talked about the prospects for the coming season for a moment. Then TK said, "Your wife don't seem to have nothing much to do, so she can visit a lot." Mine got too much to do to go visiting and too much to spend time talking to folks that visit her. My wife takes time for whatever she wants to do. Real strong-headed that way. Yes, indeed. He laughed a high, lungless laugh. The chillin' don't keep her in no more, so she visits when she chooses. The chillin'? T. Tea Cake asked in surprise, "You got any smaller than him?" He indicated a son who seemed around 20 or so. "I ain't seen your others." "I reckon you ain't, 'cause days all passed."